Well, I surely desire your prayers. I've appreciated the service thus far. Pray that the Lord bless the furtherance of it. I'd like to read from the 24th chapter of Matthew. I'll start with the fourth verse. And Jesus answered and said unto them, "Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famines and pestilence, and earthquakes in divers places. And all these things are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold." And I want to kind of explore that thought a little bit tonight, that because iniquity abounds, the love of many shall wax cold. I believe that that's not just for any particular time. I believe that love waxes cold anytime there's iniquity. I think sin corrupts. Anytime that sin gets a foothold into a family's it's going to corrupt that family, and they're going to lose love out of that family. It's because of sin that there is divorce and heartache. It's because of abounding iniquity tonight that children are abused in our land to the degree they are. I say to any degree. Because sin abounds, because iniquity abounds, the love of many wax cold. It brings to my mind when it says many and not all, that we're not hopeless. But it does have an effect on the society around us. It does make a difference. This is also talking about, the Lord was talking about people that had love. They had an experience. Something was in their lives to start with, and then there was forces. There was not just a little, but this spoke of many things that affect humans' lives. Persecutions. It's hard to see what one man can possibly come up with in his mind to do to another one. We're all affected by that kind of brutality. It's hard for me to fathom what one person can do to another one. You think, how can they do that? How can someone kill a small child without regret or remorse? How does it happen? Well, because iniquity abounds is why. And so to large degrees down to small degrees, sin affects our lives if we allow it. But this said it affected many, but not all. There is an escape tonight of this. Not all was affected by the world that's around it, but it's a warning tonight of the power and the force of sin and iniquity that abounds around us. They're talking of persecutions. They're talking about fraudulent things, dishonesties, those kind of things that comes into life. Hypocrisy. Many people are affected tonight because of hypocrisy. It's hard to grow up under hypocrisy and believe in Christ. It's a hard thing to overcome, to see somebody that claims it deeply and don't have it. It's hard to bring together all the ends of things and make it make sense. It brings a coldness. The idea here, best I can understand it, the idea of waxing cold is not an immediate state. It's not overnight. But because sin, iniquity abounds, it's everywhere. It pushes on our lives from all directions. There, you see it all around us. Is it not true? And because of that, the push of the world, and the devil knows that there is a desire in man for these pleasures and things that's in the world, that's pushing to it, and what love then begins to be affected? Our love of love to God? Our love of right things? Our love of holiness? Inevitably, our love for our fellow man, those that are around me, the deep loves, even loves that I feel for my wife, my children, the love naturally that should flow from brother to brother is affected by iniquity. It's iniquity. Don't suppose tonight that you and I can step into the realms of iniquity and have fellowship one with another. For it won't work. It's selfish and devilish, and it will divide us with our best intents in mind. It'll divide us. The idea of waxing cold is not an overnight thing, but it is it's a waxing, it's a growing, it's a getting there. The Greek on this, actually the phrase, not just one word, but the phrase wax cold, actually comes from the idea of a, if you can understand, a gentle breeze. Now, you folks out here in Oklahoma know what a storm is. And when they start saying there's a storm coming, 60 and 70 mile an hour winds, and the hail size of golf balls, tennis balls, softballs, and grapefruits, whatever it is, you'll get out of the way. That's something to say. That, but who of us here would dodge a gentle breeze? This is the idea that when a gentle breeze comes across something, there is a, what is it? It's an evaporation effect. And when something evaporates, it causes cooling. And so the idea is that a gentle breeze working slowly and gently will cause this evaporation to happen, and there begin a, by degree, a temperature drop. That's the idea that is in the scripture, and it is very subtle. It's very deceiving tonight. We would run from a storm, but we wouldn't run from a gentle breeze. We would run from the ugliness of sin tonight. But we wouldn't run from the breeze that's causing it. Who would get out of the way of something like that? But yet, that's what's happening in our society. It's what's been happening for a long time, is this subtle attempt, this working across to make you and I feel like it's okay. It's all right for me to be a part of this world. I'm going to tell you tonight, the world is opposed to God. The thinking of the world is against God. The direction is against God. The idea of the world means cosmos. It means arrangement of things. Their very idea and the way they do things against God. The things they try to promote and go through, everything that they try to do is anti-God in this world. We live in this world. We've got to deal with this world. But folks, don't take this world on you. It's like a gentle breeze that comes along with the pure desire of the devil is to make you cool down in your soul. Because when you start cooling down, the first effects of that cooling down is going to be a loss of love to God. You're going to wax cold to God, and it's going to start changing my life in such a subtle way, easy way, that I won't be able to see and perceive and understand that I've even changed. I've even changed. I talked to somebody recently that we had this thing going on between, and I said, I want you to know something. We've had sweet fellowship, and I haven't changed. What you're not liking about me is what you used to like. What's going on? What's altering and what's changing? A gentle breeze. A subtle idea. An idea that I can go into these realms and not be affected. It won't move me away from what the truth of is. It won't move me away from the strong desires and passions I have to God. You may say, well, Brother Marty, why do you do what you do? I do what I do because I want to please the Lord. Bottom line, I want to please God is why I do what I do. And I've been through many, I'll be honest with you tonight, I've been through many wrestling matches in my experience. You've been through any of those? I'd like to express to you tonight a few wrestling matches that I've had in my life. I believe there was a point in time came that the Lord called me to the ministry full time. And I was excited about it. Lord, yes, I want to do that. But yet there was a part that I had worked. I had given a work. I was supposed to have this work ethic, and I did. As growing up, and when I become a man, I worked hard. I would work 24 hours straight, sometimes 36 hours straight. I believed that. I believed it was right to do. And I'll be honest with you, I wrestled with the idea of full-time ministry. As long as I'm busy, I feel pretty good. And as soon as I stop being too busy, something starts happening to me, or it did over the years, and something that I had to wrestle with. I had to wrestle with the idea that I'm just sitting on call. And I prayed one time. I prayed, I said, Lord, is it all right if I get a job? And I prayed about it, and the Lord said no, was the answer. No, and I was satisfied with that for a little while, and then I prayed again. Lord, can I get a job? I'm not doing anything right now, get a job. And the answer the Lord had, no, I want you to be where I can use you. And I wrestled with that. And I want to tell you what I ended up doing. I'm doing it to please God. That's why I do what I do. I have a personal preference that my life's developed. It is that I would work. But I don't do what I want to do. And you ask my wife, I've battled. She's helped me with it because many times she said, what did the Lord tell you? Okay, I remember what the Lord said. But I'm struggling. I'm striving. Have you ever wrestled? You wrestled? What happens when iniquity comes in? And I don't love God like I once did. The thing that holds me where I'm supposed to be has been let loose. I don't have the same purpose anymore. I don't have the same love to God anymore. It's not only a love to God, but it's a love to God's people. It's a love to all people that God has given me that I want to maintain. And I'll say, yes, Lord, I'll do it. I'll do it. I want to stay there. In that place, that I know your approval's on my life. And I will tell you, people get away from it not by waking up one morning and saying, oh, I don't love God anymore. I don't like going to service anymore. I get nothing out of it. Last Sunday was fantastic and I was lifted up in my soul. But today, it's gone. It don't work that way. It works by giving in to our flesh, giving in to the world as it comes in, and in its attacks and in its lendings of itself to you. Take a little bit of me, it says. It won't hurt you. Take a little of my ideas. Take a little bit of what I have to give to you. It'll make you more popular. It'll make you more accepted to the world that around you if you'll give in a little bit. We heard it this morning. Pressures come. I told Brother Danny at the service. You know the thought I got about that this morning? He talked about pressure that we live under, high pressure. You know what builds pressure? Restriction. You can't have pressure as long as something's free-flowing. It takes restriction. I'm going to tell you, if you're not restricting some things, you're not going to have any pressure from the world. As long as you look like the world, walk like the world, act like the world, and talk like the world, you're going to get along with the world because you're going to be the world. As soon as you start putting up restrictions to the world, you'll build pressure. You'll build pressure on them and pressure on it. And the breeze keeps blowing. The breeze keeps blowing. A continual breeze. I'm going to tell you, it takes something to keep a fire lit. The breeze is going to blow across us, folks, but we need to have something in here that burns, that keeps the fire going. Breeze blows right across me, but the heat keeps coming. The heat keeps coming. That's my relationship with my Savior. Lord, help us tonight. And I want to look at a scripture in Jeremiah. First chapter of Jeremiah. 1 and 13. And the word of the Lord came unto me the second time, saying, What seest thou? Jeremiah, what are you looking at? And I said, I see a seething pot, and the face thereof is toward the north. All right? In Jeremiah's vision, in my mind, he saw a big pot. I don't know what they made him out of back in, but there was a big pot, and the fire was lit under the pot. And the pot was beginning, you ever see a pot just about to boil? And there's little vapor trails that comes off of the pot. And in his vision, he saw it starting to boil, and the vapors coming off of it and trailing towards the north. That was his vision. That's what he saw. And it stood for something. It stood for what's pending. It stood for what's on your way. What you can't do anything about. I've often wondered with this scripture, how would you fight a vapor? You know, there's things that we can so we can get a hold of and work with, but here comes the idea that he was talking about was the war that was to come. The what God was foreseeing and sending to the children of Israel. And here it comes, and the idea of this, that's not too scary, is it? A vapor. Subtle. Just subtle. Don't look like a lot of effect to that thing as it starts, but it's got with it much potential. There's a lot of fire yet to go, a lot coming. I'm going to tell you, the world is like that, and every bit of it is intended today to cause us to wax cold, to cause you and I to change our minds and our hearts in an easygoing way to get us to some point that we wouldn't love God like we ought to. We wouldn't stand for truth like we should. We wouldn't stand up like we heard today. Won't stand up for the truth. We won't be solid. We'll be numbed by it. We'll be numbed by it. And then, what can you say? I was talking to somebody recently, and they broke down, and they said to me, somebody that they loved, they said they're in such a shape. Such a shape. All these things was wrong in their lives, and they was weeping. A close family man, and is weeping and weeping. And I said, what they need is the Lord. And the expression back to me was said, oh, but Marty, they're so religious, corrupt, foul, nastiness come from them. They need the Lord, I said. And the expression was, but they're, how do you do it? They're so religious. If you mention Jesus, they'll say amen. If you mention things about God, they'll say yes, God. Lord, help us tonight that our love be fervent. I remember reading a story not long ago, or hearing a story of a volcano that had erupted. And I'm not sure of the years that this happened, but the volcano erupted, and after it had calmed down, it left a crater in the top of it. The top of that crater ended up sealing off, and then the rains came, and it filled up this crater into a lake, and there was water in the top of this lake. And I don't understand it all together, but they say that there was some kind of a chemical reaction started taking place in the bottom of this lake, and there was an acid that started releasing itself. And it worked its way up through in the water, and it was just a lake of acid, and it began to put off vapor. And the vapor began to get more higher and higher in this lake, and finally it rose up, and it being a little heavier than the air wouldn't just rise up, but it stayed as close down as it could, and finally it built up until it began to roll over the edges of this crater. And then it just very easily, if you can see in your mind, this vapor that's easy enough to see starts just gently trailing It's acid vapors. Just gently started trailing down the valleys. And way off down the valley, very peaceful village down there, and with people, many people, hundreds if not thousands of people around the area. And you imagine a beautiful sunny day, and you look up and you're just some clouds kind of filtering that way, a vapor that comes down through, but it's an acid, it's poison, it's deadly. And it just come down and settled itself down through the village, and hundreds of people just lay dead from this vapor that come in just subtly and easily came down through. You know, that's the way the devil wants to work with our souls tonight. Very subtly, very easily, very, it's not, we think of it all scary. We think of it, in our terms, we think of it in fear and scary, and the devil's got a horn and a tail and a pitchfork, and we think of ugliness and nastiness. Don't fool yourself tonight. It's going to come gently. It's going to be like a breeze. Sometimes it'll be so satisfying to those that desire and wish for it. And I've heard people go into the world and say, I'm free! I'm free! Lord, have mercy. Free for what? The damage of sin? The damage of selfishness and corruption? I've seen it happen. And the breeze just keeps blowing, blowing. When I worked in the coal mines, remember, I actually run into it a few times, but they had what they called black damp in the coal mines. And in an old section of coal mines, what happened if it was sealed off, the air would go bad. Well, actually, the oxygen in it would be depleted. There would be great pockets in these abandoned mines, but there would be no oxygen in the air, which is not a good thing. Or not a good thing for people that need it. And what would happen, many times they would break into the coal mines, these old works. You can't perceive it. You've got to be aware that it's there. You've got to know the potential of it being there and have the proper equipment to allow you to know the presence or not, because the natural eye could not see it. The nose could not smell it. There was nothing to smell. It was a lack of the very thing that makes us live. Getting familiar? It was a lack of it. If you and I are going to live tonight, we're going to live by the one that told Lazarus, come forth. He's the giver of life. He is life. How's our soul going to live when we've denied the giver of life? And so here's the black damp, and they go into it, and it was amazing how it worked, because it wouldn't disperse easily. It would actually move. The pocket would move. So they break into it, and this pocket of black damp, they called it, would begin to start moving slowly. Inevitably, it would work its way through, and it would come into the workings, and many times they would be men working, and just now they would look up, and a man that would be working up at the front may just collapse over. Fall over, and he sees light flip, and he falls over, and what's the first reaction to that? He's my friend. He's my comrade. I work with him. And they would run instantly to get him. But what happened? What happens when, like, they had run up there and fall over too, and now you got two, and men behind them wondering, I'm telling you, it was a tragic looking thing, but you couldn't see it, couldn't smell it. There was no way to, it was just a lack of it there. It's right that we love people, but you can't run in there to get them. Oh, how many times, folks, listen to me, I don't hardly how to say it, but just to say it. I know mothers love their children. And I know fathers love their children to the point of almost doing anything. But you can't run into sin for them. You can't justify bad lives, folks. The only hope they have is for you to have enough life with you to be able to get them back to it. And also often, what happens? Jesus said it himself, unless you love me,
more than you love your mother, your father, your children, your wife. Oh, I'm telling you, they started touching the closest things that we can get to. And I want to warn you tonight, because I'll be honest with you, I've seen it over and over and over since I've been saved, that the generations that go by of people that live for the Lord and love the Lord and got up to a time of decision, and the love that they had being split, and Jesus said, unless you love me more than these, you cannot be. It'll pull you away, folks. Iniquity will cause, it'll cause you to wax cold in your own soul. And then where's the hope? Where's the ability? If I run in and die too, where's the help? Where's the hope? It's just kind of like a gentle breeze that goes and starts manipulating and working in people's lives. And I'm going to tell you, what time, more than this time, is it prevalent everywhere? The move of sin, iniquity in this world, the mind-boggling, Lord, help us. I get so full of it sometimes. All this there, and you've got to deal with it, and you've got to work with it, and you get the questions and the ideas, and what about this, and what about that? And sometimes it's, Lord, have mercy in all of this. And over, I've had to come to the same spot in my own life. And it always comes back to the same place. Thank God. You're right, Lord, when everybody's wrong. You're God when it's all falling down. You're still ruling when it seems like there's nothing around me solid. You're solid. When it seemed like 1,000 to my left and 10,000 to my right, it seemed like no, it's everything's falling around and questioning and difficulties and what is in the world, is this right and is this right, and scientists have it right over here, and scientists are talking about this, and science are doing this. Oh, and I come back to the same thing. Jesus, you're still right. You're still right. A brother up in our home congregation recently was testifying about he ran into an atheist. And, oh, he said that guy was really gay. He went to town with him, and he really gave him one talking to. And his whole idea was how do you know? And I noticed he testified that. I thought, you know, I got a pat answer for that. You know how I know? Because he lives here. That's how I know. And you say, it don't work for me? It don't have to, brother. It works for me. I know what God done for me when he saved me. I know that. You can't take that from me. You remember the blind man? There was a blind man one time that the Lord had healed. And they tried to tell this man that Jesus wasn't what he said he was. And all the arguments. And I love that scripture because he said, basically he said it this way. I don't know about all your arguments, but this is what I know. I was blind. You know, there was people saying he wasn't a blind man. There was people saying, nah, it was a fake, it was fraud. But I'm going to tell you what he said. I was blind. Whatever you want to say, you say it. You can convince yourself. You may convince people in the world. You may think all that thing. But I'm going to tell you what, I know that I was blind. And now I can see. And you can argue there's no God in heaven. You can argue the whys and the whens and the wherefores. And you can do all that. But I know there was a time that I was miserable. And I was wretched. And I didn't know what I was going to do with my miserable young life. And the Lord saved me. And gave me direction and hope and peace in my life. And turned me from a scoundrel to somebody that loved goodness and right. And a desire to go on doing it that way. So is there a God? There is to me. And there should be to you too tonight. There should be one. And this scripture says that because iniquity abounded, the love of many waxed cold. But it didn't say all, folks. It didn't say all tonight. There's hope for every one of us here tonight that this world can be just rampant with iniquity. It can have foulness and lewdness, and it can go as far into sin and wickedness that it can go, but it don't have to get all of us. There is a place in God for everyone else. There is a place for you tonight in God to where it's fervent and hot and it's alive and real. But it don't come cheap, and it don't come easy. It don't come without effort and labor and desire and want and passion. But if we come with that, I'm going to tell you the best place to get. Needy. Needy. Oh, Lord, I need Him now worse than I've ever needed You before. The world is I don't understand very much. I'm simple. I don't understand much, Lord, but You know. You know how to keep this poor old boy right here in this 2010. Keep us, Lord, keep us hot and fervent. And fervent. There was a scripture, I think it was used earlier today. It's over in Galatians. The 5th chapter of Galatians, I believe it is. I'm going to read up a little ways. 16th verse. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Walk in the Spirit. Be a part of the Spirit of God. Walk in His Spirit. Be directed by His Spirit. Love His Spirit. Put away everything that's not like God. Walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. Isn't it true from the beginning? Yes. Wasn't it so then? Isn't it so now? Did what happened originally to the love? I say again, what happened to the love that Adam and Eve had for God? What happened to it? What happened in their children? Iniquity. Right. Iniquity introduced into the hearts of the Adamic nature of their children produced one generation. Cain slew his brother Abel. Why did he do it? Flesh. The lust of the flesh. Envy. He was covetous. He was envious of his brother. And it grew up a hatred. Sin done it. Iniquity done it. The breeze blew. I don't know how long it took, but the breeze blew over them. Surely Cain didn't always hate his childhood mate, did he? Is it natural? Was it right? Something happened. There come time that they made a sacrifice. And Cain's sacrifice was wrong. He had a foul heart in that thing, and God caught him on it. And told him, said, if you do well, will you not be accepted? But if you do not well, what's there? Sin. Sin lies at the door, Cain. I'm telling you, you're about to take some steps into your life because of sin. You're about to go down that path. This says, for the flesh, lust against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to another, so that you cannot do the things that you would. I wonder how many people ever come to the realization in their life. I pray that it's many. That I've taken the wrong way. That somewhere in the course of my decisions and desires and wants, I drifted. I moved away from God. I allowed the wind, the breeze of this world to cool my heart down. I allowed the pressure of this world to get me to the point that I wouldn't stand up and want to be counted. But I made myself as inconspicuous as I could among the world. Lord, help us. It's the flesh that's lusting against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. They're contrary one to the other. Spirit is life, and the flesh is death, and they war against one another. And how many times flesh is chosen? And then they'll argue to the utmost of how right it is. Lord, have mercy. But if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. It gets ugly, doesn't it? They're these. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, and wrath, and strife, seditions and heresies, envyings and murders,
drunkenness and revelings, and the such like. And that means there's a lot of stuff like it. Of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And I think it was mentioned already today, but we can say it again. Don't blame us. Don't say you're judging me. I read it right from the scriptures. If you do these things and things like it, you'll not enter the kingdom. And it's not our words, it's God, and you got a right to say it. And it is of the flesh, and it's wicked, and it causes the hearts of people to grow cold. It causes our culture and our society to be worse. It causes bad things in it. Why do you rob one another? Why do we steal? Why is there murders? Why is there all this injustice and everything goes around? Why is there all this stuff? Because of sin. But the fruit of the Spirit. Thank God for His grace. I remember Brother Tony preaching a message to us back home one time about the grace of God. And he said, really, if you look at it, the grace of God can be identified by the Spirit, the fruits of the Spirit. Because what are we saying when we say, Lord, I need more grace? When I am challenged to love someone that's not lovable, what am I saying when I say, Lord, give me grace? I'm saying, Lord, give me love of your Spirit. Give me more love. When I am taxed with a pressured situation to where I need to have more patience with something, what am I saying when I say, Lord, give me more grace? I'm saying, give me long suffering. Give me the qualities of your Spirit. Give me the qualities of your Spirit. There is a way in this day and time to be not a part of the many that wax cold, that they have their loves wax cold, but there is of those that don't, because all don't. There is a way to be in that number. And it's the grace of God. It's the grace of God in our seeking and striving to have the Spirit of God in His fullness and to be able to have the fruits of it as I understand it. Lord, give me more of the fruits of your Spirit in my life. Give me more love. You know, I'm going to say, Lord help us, but I'm going to say this. It's been questioned many times, where's our missionary spirit? I'm going to tell you what will rob it from you. Iniquity. Sin will rob your missionary spirit. When you get the real love of God, there's an automatic. It don't have to be worked up, beat up, thumped around on. It's an automatic. When I love God, I love His creation. I love His people. I love His cause. I want everybody to know the Lord that I know. When I love Him, I follow what He wants in my life, and I desire what He wants. And what was the Great Commission all about? Go into the world, all the world, and preach the gospel. How can I, Lord, help us? If we lack it, we're too cold. The world's been blowing too much across us. We're not keeping the furnace lit. Not keeping the oil going in there. You remember the scripture where Jesus was telling about, and He said there was 10 virgins. 10 of them. And there was 5 wise and 5 foolish. 5 wise took with their lamps a vessel full of oil. Preparation. Desire. Passion. Carefulness. What carefulness it wrought in you. Concern. Desire for my own soul. The 5 foolish one. Little. Maybe not greatly, but a little indifferent. A little careless. A little cautious. But there come a time they needed something to make a fire with. They needed something to keep a fire going with. They needed to keep a little light going. 5 foolish ones run out. I wonder what the influence, there was an influence that got onto their life that caused it. There was an idea promoted by the enemy of their souls telling them it's not that important
to be that careful. You don't have to do that. Now, what's everybody else? We look strange enough with the lamp itself. You know, nobody's got a lamp but us. Look at them. Look at the rest of the world going around you and enjoying themselves and frolicking in the night. And we're walking around you with a light. Everybody think we're strange. But make it worse, you've got these little vessels with you. Isn't that not the way the world does it? Is that all what they're thinking of? Many people that's minds begin to give way, start saying, I don't have to go to that point with it. Been accused of all these kind of things. I remember people used to say, you drive that far to go to church? Well, you drive twice that far to go to the beach, the ball game, the concerts. And I'm crazy for driving the far as I do to go to church. But it's all in relativity. I mean, it's all relative to what the world's doing. That's a strange thing to do. How many churches did you pass up to get there? Well, I wasn't counting when I come out here, but there were several I saw from the road. That's strange, people say. That's what are you doing that for? I'll tell you why I do it. Because there's a breeze blowing. That's why I do it. There's a breeze blowing. There are some responsibilities put on us, and there's some, I have a desire in my heart. That's why I do it. Oh, you just do it because the church demands it. No, I'd stay at the house. You ain't never seen somebody dig in their heels like this old boy can dig in his heels when he don't want to do something that I want to do. No, that ain't why I do it. I do it because I want to please my Lord. And if we're going to stand through this thing and you're going to have some heat and you're going to stay, keep your love fervent and strong, and I know it's been said over and over, but folks, you've got to have it for yourself. You've got to have it real and vibrant. You've got to know that the Lord answers your prayers. God is real to me. I see God. I see Him for myself. And I've got the instruments in my life. I've got the instruments of the Holy Ghost in my life that warns me against the black damp, against the things that don't have life in it. All things are lawful, Paul said, but all things aren't expedient. All things don't bring goodness. A lot of things I waste my time with and I run out of energy with. I know I have to be a part of those things, and some things are just plain wrong. Some things are sinful in nature. They're not black and white in Scripture. It takes discerning of a life lived in God. It's a feel. I feel it. God moves. God works. God warns. God directs. Have you ever had somebody, when I first got saved, I'll be honest with you, I loved the Lord, I wanted to live for the Lord, and I had people telling me, well, this is the Scriptures meaning this, and do you know many, many times the Lord would put up a check on that, and there'd be a voice in my soul saying, that ain't right. You know how I knew it wasn't right? It didn't line up with holiness. It didn't line up with rightness and carefulness. And so I didn't need... He said that. You wouldn't have to have a man teach you. Why? Because I'm going to give you something. That's right. That'll witness down in your soul. And now there's moves in the world that brings technology and all these things. And you may argue and debate all this. But God witnesses to our heart. Yes. Don't go down that road. It's not good for you. Live holy and righteous and keep your mind and heart in God. And then see what it does for you. Make your relationship with your wife better. I don't know if anybody here has that trouble. But if you do, try this. Get close to God and see how much better of a husband you can be. Amen. Wives, get close to God and see how much better a wife you can be. That's the answer. Right. Is there problems with neighbors? See how good of a neighbor you can get. Oh, it's my neighbor's this, my neighbor's that. No! Love God and see what you can do. Then you'll start looking with the compassion of Jesus' eyes. And then look at all cultures and creeds and peoples, and everyone becomes God's cause. Savior of the world. Missionary spirit, we do need more in our hearts and our minds. More desire for those that are around us. Lord, help us in 2010 to walk righteous before you. Help us by your grace. We can't do it by ourselves. There's nobody that could. But Lord, by your great divine grace and spirit, give us the power to be upright and honest people. To swear to their own hurt, the scripture says, and changeth not. If I say it, brother, I'll stay to it. Why? What if I could gain if I don't? Because I'll gain more if I do. Because I'll get something that's so much more valuable. It's called integrity and honor. It's called a relationship with the Lord. It's called peace and satisfaction about who I am and what I'm doing. The ability to work, look everybody in here in the eye. And I can do it. I've not wronged anyone. Nobody. Paul said the same thing that he was clear before God and man. He stood clear. He didn't have nothing they could charge him with. I've loved you. I've told you the truth all the way down through. Beware tonight of the world, folks. Beware of the world. Don't allow the world to rob you of your love for God. Because it's out there and it is a thief. You pray for me. I want to be faithful.